Checking in once again with Quincy City Council President Anne Mahoney to get an update on the very latest City Council meeting of May 18th. How are you, Anne?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing? It's going to be a
Doing
hot
all
one
right.
today.
Yes, we're d delving right into summer here for a couple of days, anyways.
I know, that's okay. Well,
Was
it
the
gets our
AC
body.
working in the chamber last night? Oh,
It
good.
was working last night. So yeah, I can always count on that. So it wasn't working
Excellent.
at my house though, because we're not ready for
No, I don't think anybody is.
it.
But here we are.
Yep, that's okay. I told you I'd be complaining about the heat in the summer.
Wow, what a busy meeting. Lots going on.
It was, yep. So we started last night with the public hearing for some utility and grant locations, and they did get passed unanimously in the regular meeting. And then the next meeting was the ordinance committee meeting, chaired by Councillor McKee, and that was the one in regards to repealing the raises. And what's happening there? First, I just lost my notes. So she wanted to. The last time we had a meeting, she only had a half an hour meeting, and she just wanted to get this back on the agenda to have the city solicitor before us, so that we could all ask questions. And also, just recently, I think there's a Patriot Ledger article mentioning that several of us have deferred their raises. And this is really, it's a personal decision for people to make. So nobody could be forced into deferring, and nobody's asking anybody to do it. I personally did it because I've been donating, and it's just easier for me to not have to worry about penny for penny when people ask. And that's okay. I mean, realistically, I was on the council before, and much of your salary that you get paid on the council ends up going into donations, unless you have a really big campaign fund, and then you can donate it from there. But it's an equitable thing. You're getting paid, you're working for the community, you're trying to represent people, and you're trying to support as many people as you possibly can. I'll continue to do that, but I decided to defer the raise myself, and several other members did as well. This is really not about necessarily the number, but about the process of how the raises were done. There was no real deliberation on how they got to the 44.5. I think it came in at 47 at first, and it got cut down to 44.5. But the real question is, like, what's the comparison to other communities, like sizes, those types of things? And I think, these are conversations that once it's happened, and once that a number is decided on, it could be 44.5 again, or it could be lower. I don't know, but it won't be higher. I can tell you that much. But I know that that's the conversation I want to have, a real transparent conversation about how we establish those raises and how we proceed going forward. And the same thing was on the agenda last night for the mayor's raise. It became a very big question back and forth about with the city solicitor. I'm pretty sure it was about whether or not a deferral or the change in the ordinance, which is more legally binding. And during the meeting, Councillor McKee did ask Solicitor Timmons to put something in writing, and he was very adamantly opposed to putting anything in writing because he was in a public body talking about something. But in my experience with legal teams is when you ask for something in writing, if it's not a problem, they usually put it in writing. So I'm not sure what the pushback of that was, other than he just didn't want to put it in writing. And he's right. He did say it in public. We can, if somebody wanted to use it, you could, but it's always more, it's a better practice to always get legal information put in writing so you can refer back to the written word of anything. So that's where that went to. And then the goal was to potentially vote something last night, but it didn't get voted last night. We're going to have one more meeting. These two will be voted by the end of June, with the hopes that we'll be coming back with the process of how we can be able to handle those. So
What does the
that's where we stand for that. Then
okay.
we moved on to the regular council meeting at 7:30,
Just a
and
quick question, Anne,
I'm
if
sure.
you don't mind.
No,
Just
not at all.
what does deferring mean? Does it mean you accept the increase and then donate it or not accept it?
Nope. So deferring just means that your salary. So in my particular case, I'm deferring the raise. So I'm not taking that 14. I think it's $14,000, and I'm giving it back to the city. Let's say I'm not donating. I'm just giving back to the city, and it will fall into free cash, or it will fall someplace else. But it's only for half a year. So the deferment that I'm doing will be until June 30th, but then I will continue the deferment until something gets resolved, if anything gets resolved, or until the next election. So that's where I stood. Like I wrote my deferment letter to say I'm gonna give this back to the city. I don't want you to pay this to me, but it's on the record that that's what I should be being paid, because I can't take that away from another counselor that is not writing the deferment letter.
I see. Okay, great.
And it's the same. So it's the same situation, kind of, when they did it, when the ethics came in, and we've never seen a letter from ethics. We've never seen a letter from. We've never seen anything other than what we did learn was that they didn't have a public meeting when they all decided to defer their salaries, the council and the mayor, the last time. And I think they got caught out. They got called out in an open meeting law violation for that, because you can't. You can't have those conversations and come to a unanimous situation without having that public meeting. And I think that's what they got slapped on for that. But in particular, the ethics did call the city of Quincy in and said that basically you can't take the raises until the next election. Jim Timmons was debating it, saying every community around us is saying this is the, they do it the same way Quincy was going to do it, which was to give the raises in January 1st, at the half mark of the calendar year. It's been done different ways, and I can't say which is, I mean, what I can say is in the charter it says at the next election, and state sometimes overrules your charter, but I think it's just the best practice is should probably be at the next election because it just makes sense. But you know, that's where we stand on that. And the mayor deferred his raise, but the ordinance is what makes the raise. So when you do the ordinance that says right currently right now on the books, the ordinance says that as of January 1st, 2025, the mayor's salary would go to 285. So he didn't, they didn't take that away. They didn't say it will change to January 1st of 2028. It says January 1st of 2025. So that ordinance is on the books. And that's what Maggie was questioning. Like, you deferred it, you're not getting paid that, but that is on the books. Does that play weight? Because one does one outrule the other? A deferment is just simply saying, my salary should be this, but I'm going to defer it, but my salary is what it would be the 44.5. So that was the way the questions were coming. It was kind of going in a circle, but in the end, what was decided is that we'll have one more meeting and we'll come back and we will hopefully get this wrapped up and moved into the next phase, which is really the discussion of process. So
Okay. Thank
hope
you.
I explained that well for you.
Yes.
And it wasn't just, I will say it wasn't just Councillor McGee. Multiple councillors had that question as to the, does, which is, does the ordinance carry the weight? And really comes down to pension. That's the reason why they're asking that question. Because if you debated that and got a pension attorney, they could probably come back and say it should be $285,000. Let's use that example. But he hasn't been paying, the mayor wasn't paying in the 285 for, because it's not what he's taking for salary. But I do know that in situations that, you know, if another person might be somebody that was in the civil service that has put their time in, but they were a lifeguard. But let's say that was also paid through the state, that should also count towards their time of service, or they were in the military, but they weren't paying into it. So the offset would be the person who's not paying into it would pay, they'd pay the difference that they could get it up to, but their long-term benefit would be they'd be getting a much higher retirement package. So
Okay.
that's where that concern comes from. Nobody's pointing fingers or blaming. It's just clean, like clean and legal. What does this mean? And
Yeah, as I understand, the solicitor feels that passing these ordinances would completely erase all salaries. Is that right?
well, that's what he is saying, and I think we're, I'm not saying we're at a crossroads. I'm not sure if Maggie is going to change that, but I think the word repeal is being used in the full term of saying repeal the entire salary. But I think what Maggie's repeal, what she wanted to do was to repeal the raise provided in the council order X, Y, and Z, which would take it from 28.9 to 44.5 or 151 to 285. So specifically, the repeal would just be for the raise. And he's saying if you use the word repeal, it goes to zero. That is the crux. And I was like, you know, whatever, if Maggie feels it's repeal and we can, and that's what she wants to do, we'll have to go, we'll go down that. Maybe it will get amended to, I forget the other words, reject or something. I think there's other words. I
Okay.
just thought they really hung up over semantics. And it's interesting to me because, you know, the city has used semantics in different ways to their advantages. So we're just trying to move this process along so we can get to the process and the discussion of the meat of the situation, which is that it really wasn't discussed in the public. And that's what we feel like it should be done transparently. I love the word transparent because everybody hates it, so I'm gonna keep using it. So that's kind of where we're at for that. And then you know, with regards to, I just lost my paper. So then we went into the regular meeting. And in the regular meeting, we were talking about, we had open forum, of course, and we had quite a few people in open forum. And we did go over the, we went over the, it was about 25 minutes we went last night for open forum. So it's still a good crowd coming up to open forum. Some people were for ENC. Some people were, one person was letting us know that every single one of us is going to get the be removed from office because we're an embarrassment or a clown. They thought that was interesting, and that's okay. Like if that's what they feel, then that's what they feel. You know, I wish them well. I work very hard for the city, and I know that I have to be balanced in what I'm doing. So then we had other people coming up talking about making sure that we're following the money, doing good tracks and due diligence about things, and that type of things for open forum. So then we moved on to the Eastern Nazarene College, which was the legal update, and this was the letter of interest that was provided to Eastern Nazarene. We all know the letter was dated in April. We got it May 4th or 5th in our packages, and I think the concerning part about this was that we knew because the mayor said he was coming to us with this back in February. Then he brought it to us the same night that they brought the debt, that the budget for us, right? And we had just found out about the debt in the sense that it had gone from 1.6 to 1.8, and it's rapidly growing. And we also were talking about when we started our budget meetings, and we were asking questions about the district improvement financing, and that doesn't seem to be adding up. So these things are all concerns that we have as counselors that need to be explained to us. And we also had a meeting in regards to the Monroe building, which was purchased for one thing and being used for another and potentially being sought out to be something completely different. And then we had a meeting in regards to all of the purchases that we bought in the city of Quincy, how much they cost and what we're using them for. We know there's a lot of spaces that we're not using them for. So we buy things with one intent. We don't use them. And now we have ENC coming to us. It's the same type of situation. So the letter of intent says that we have to have everything done by June 15th. And if we don't, there is no extensions that can happen that we would lose that deal. Again, this is less of a me problem and more of a their problem because this is the deal they set up, and we're in the middle of budget, so it's very difficult to get all this information. And we're certainly expecting to see more information for this. You know, what's your plan? How much is going to cost? How much is it going to cost for us to be able to manage that building? How long will it take for your vision to come into play? Who's going to do it? And like you're coming, the first thing that we're coming for is the 22.5, 22, 22 million. Five for us to approve. That's just for the purchase. And there's like there's demolition. Is there any asbestos? What are the things that we're gonna there's additional costs, and they're coming fast and rapidly. And I will say that we've done this before. This administration has a history of purchasing things in a rush, only to turn around for it to cost us a lot more money. And we're looking for that picture for them to show it to us. Or if they can't show it to us, then we need to be able to determine from that list of acquisitions that we had, are there any things that we can sell to replace? Because we can't just keep buying at the rate we're buying, because it's taking things. Now, Eastern Nazarene is not on the tax rolls, but there were other buildings that were, and we have to balance that for the taxpayers. So the problem with the debt is it's eating into your operating budget, and every year it eats into your operating budgets. It's going to be harder and harder for us to sustain the number of people we have working in our city, as well as the services we're providing to our residents. So we're very balanced on that, and we need to focus on that debt. And that's the reason why that was a big conversation last night.
Okay, so what did the legal update mean? Were there legalities that were
So
discussed?
really, I think what happened is that in the paper, once again, we were provided information in the newspaper that Quincy was buying ENC, and the letter of intent was out, and that we had it. The counselor had it. We none of us had it. We didn't get it until the following Monday. There was no discussion. It wasn't on the agenda. And now it's been on the agenda. And now it's on the agenda to explain to us, we really have to get this meeting going. We'll be ready. We're supposed to get the information from them for their plan, their package by next Wednesday, the 27th. They're looking for us to keep an open mind, which I think most of us are. But one of the concerns I have as well is, again, they had it signed in April. The mayor came to us on May 4th and with his budget and the ENC package. We didn't have the letter of intent for that night to talk about. The next day on May 5th, we got downgraded a second time from Moody's. Two different financial downgrades from two different, from Wall Street, saying your debt is too high, you're not balancing your reserves, and it's eating into your budget. That's what it's saying. So when we got downgraded from Moody's, it's actually a bigger downgrade from Moody's than it was from S&P. But those are two substantial things that are telling us that, slow your roll and take care of your financial house. And that came out on the 5th, but we didn't learn about that until May 14th, and that was with the Patriot Ledger. And that following week, after the 5th, the mayor and his communications team do a podcast. And in the podcast, they did something different than they'd never done before. They took a snippet of their podcast, and it was only the portion of the podcast that said ENC could be a 40B or it could be the Dover Amendment. And we have to protect the residents of the city of Quincy. The fear mongering, that is what that's called. It's political use of fear mongering. And what is interesting about that is last night, the city solicitor who works for the mayor basically told us can't be a 40B, Dover Amendment. Basically, he said, I have to go back and actually listen to it, but I know the 40B. He said, we don't, our numbers are good, but it won't be a 40B. So we're contradicting ourselves from the same administration that wants to tell us, if you don't do this, it's going to be a shame, and we have to do this. So these are the reasons why I think, we kind of, I kind of sit back and say, we're not on the same page. You want to say your door is always open, but we're finding everything out in the newspaper, and nothing's coming to us. We haven't heard the mayor talk about the Moody downgrade, other than to say that he's got borrowers that will keep the rates at the way they want them, but no discussion of the 1.8 billion or the two downgrades. Those are really big things that happen. And last night, Jim Timmons tried to tell us that our debt isn't the big problem, that we can still borrow, that it's different than other than kids getting houses today. It is different. So if I was, starting over and I wanted to buy a house, I would have to get we get I would go and they would same thing, intensive seal, this is the price. And I'd have to go get funding from the bank. But if I had two downgrades in my credit history and I didn't have good credit, the bank's not going to give it to me. And therefore I don't get the house. It's a very simple thing. We've had two downgrades in the city of Quincy. Just think of it in very pragmatic ways. Two downgrades in the city of Quincy. We thought we had $1.6 billion worth of debt. In 6 months, we have $1.8 billion worth of debt, and it seems to be growing. We're looking to borrow another $22.5 million, and nothing to worry about here, folks, because we have excess levy, which means we can come back and tax all of you. And it's a problem. That's what we, the city officials that are elected, are there to do, to balance that, so that when the mayor's bringing those things to us, that we're thinking about the taxpayers and we're balancing the needs versus the wants. And if they want this, they may have to give up something else. And that's really what it comes down to.
Okay, very good.
Simple, like as simple as I can make it. So from there, many of the councilors were too, are asking for transparency, the review of this, and they're promising they're going to get us a full financial plan, operational details, long-term projections, and a clear understanding of the future liabilities and the additional borrowings that this was to be approved. We can't go into this piecemeal saying we're going to get it for 22.5, and then we'll figure out we have to come back for another $150 million to build it out. So that's I'm using the police station as an example. I don't think it's going to be like the police station, but it could be because you talk about different things. And the last thing I'd like to say is they were supposed to do an overlay for the 55 and older. And in the last 2 years, that came in the last 2 years. They never took it out of committee. It never happened. This was an initiative from the mayor, and it never got done. You can blame the chairs of the council at the time, but if the mayor wants to do something or if the administration wants to do something, we call them and say, when do you want to do it? I did it when I was the chair of ordinance. And they'd say, we're not ready, we're not ready, we're not ready. But if you don't have a meeting, they'll blame you for not having the meeting. So what I've suggested to everybody is have the meetings. Do not hold this up. So Debbie's going to be having a meeting. I think it's going to be on June 1st about ENC. We're not holding anything up. We will certainly have those conversations, but they have to bring to that meeting the informations that are going to lead us to. It's up to them to lead us to that yes. And we are open-minded, but we're having contradictions of things being said. So that's a concern that we have.
Okay. All right.
So
So that'll
then,
be a finance committee meeting on June 1st.
yep, on June 1st, we'll have
Okay.
both ENC and I think we're going to have another ordinance we're going to talk about. So we had the next thing we had on our meeting was we have a couple of amendments that we have to do in the Rules Committee. It's just saying that rather than being a print, it's on digital. So those were not big deals. But the next one was the order requesting the administration to provide a 2-year capital bonding plan for the financial projections for the mayor's projects. This came in from Councillor Susan Yuan, and really what she's asking for here is she's specifically asking that, instead of doing it piecemeal, instead of giving us one thing at a time and then it stacks, we want to see the full picture. At the midterm address, the mayor mentioned a bunch of projects. One was ENC, One was the gear for the fire department, and another one was for the Adams Presidential Library, along with the Performance Center, and then the Della Chiesa, and I know we were talking about the seawall repairs. That's a lot of things going on. Now, some of them may have already have funding. We don't know that, but it would be a good thing to reset for the council and for the taxpayers. And you know what she was asking for this is just basically, usually you do a 5-year production. She's doing a 2-year, just for the next 2 years for all of the projects you want to do, because we may have to pick and choose which ones we can do, because we may not be able to do them all, because we have $1.8 billion worth of debt, and we've had two downgrades. This seems like a very pragmatic way of looking at something, and I think most of us would do the same thing. Again, if we were at home and you know, I lost my job, or I decided I want to retire, we have to look at our financial projections for the future in a different way than what we might be doing if we were earning the income, or if we decided to retire and had less than, we were trying to live off of Social Security, let's say, or our savings. We have to be, that's what we have to be doing in the city of Quincy. And this debt that we have, the $1.8 billion, it's not going to be fixed in a day or two. It's going to take 15 years. And then I will remind people that when we were having the DIF conversation, and I still have not received anything back yet, the RKG report, I could get the income going out to 2044. We definitely have revenues until 2044 for the downtown. But the projection for those loans go out to 2067. So from 2044 until 2067, there are no payments paying down that debt. And that's a problem. Although it's a future problem, and there's a good chance I won't be around, or anybody else will be around. I hope this tape is around. That you know, we won't be able to figure that out. And it's really a, don't look at here. Don't look at here now. Don't worry about today, because that's a tomorrow problem, and it's a big problem. So that is the reason why we keep talking about the $1.8 billion worth of debt. Yes, cities and towns, and even yourself, Joe, and myself, we tend to carry debt because our homes, our houses, whatever. We have to plan it though, and it should be really simple to forecast that as you're doing these projects. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, that Mr. Timmons, Solicitor Timmons, kind of laughed at me when I said, you know, we asked for this report that you're supposed to get back. When we asked for something, we're supposed to get the report back in 7 days. We didn't get the report back in 7 days for all the properties that we purchased. And I laughed. And he said, well, it took us a long time to do, because we had to go piece it together and look at this and look at that. And it's amazing to me. Our request is just showing managerial incompetencies, because if you're purchasing things, you shouldn't have to go recreate the file. The file should be created. And that is something that kind of shocked me, because it's not that hard to do. You know, either your financial team should be doing it for one place, because you're borrowing and buying things and putting things on and taking things off. It could be your building department that's doing it. That's what they were saying. It's done by all different departments, but there should be one central location of where we're keeping track of all those things. Just like we know how many buildings we have, we should know how many properties we own and what we're doing with those properties, what was the intent, and what's the final use, and how much it's costing us. So to tell me that it took them that long to do, over a month and a half to do, tells me that, you know, they're probably not paying attention to what we're doing. And that bothers me, because, you know, Quincy's a big city, and it has a lot, and we have a lot of people working in the city, and we're not asking for anything that should take that long.
Okay, so you did get the report though?
We had the report last at the last oversight meeting. They came back with the report, and that was the one that showed all of the purchases we bought. Like Furnace Ave, we bought Furnace Ave. That was going to be a pump station. It's not going to be a pump station anymore. And what we did is we split that property from Furnace Ave and Saturn, and it was a Danflin property that we purchased, and it was going to go bankrupt. So again, this is just the facts of what it was, but we bought it for a pumping station, and a pumping station would be so expensive to put there because it's in a flood zone. So it's not even a good place to put a pumping station. But again, we own it, and we probably can't get rid of it, but you know, we own it. But we own a lot of properties, and we have a certain amount that we don't potentially need, because we bought the buildings down in Howes Neck for our Mass Maritime Center that's gone nowhere. We've purchased things all over the city. And in some situations, people don't even know they purchased the Virk building that is now the Heritage Park, because they're going to put heritage trees that they took down from, you know, from Marymount Park. So it's just a lot of things that are being purchased in pocket parks are happening, which is, I'm not saying that I disagree with those, but it's important that we know where they are and how much they're costing us to maintain. Because if you remember, back when Prop 2.5 happened, we sold a lot of schools because we weren't planning. And $1.8 billion worth of debt does make me nervous for the future of Quincy. And 15 years is a debt. That's a debt cliff for 15 years. We're going to be paying a lot of money for 15 years. So, and if that's if we don't do anything else, if we don't do anything else, we just do what we have. So, don't look
Okay.
sad, Joe. Yeah. So from there, we did have a donation too, I believe, of $1,000 from the Quincy Police Patrol officers for deer. And I did talk about Susan. So Susan's request was also to come in by June 15th, and her resolve simply was, again, talking about all of the projects we have on the table and giving a 2-year projection, and so we can figure out if it's we are responsibly planning for those projects and determining what should or shouldn't happen. And
Okay.
we have, like I said, we have a meeting on tonight, finance meeting tonight, and then we have a finance meeting on Monday the 1st, and a regular meeting on the 1st as well.
Right, absolutely. How do you feel the
I
budget review is going in?
it's gone fine. I mean, there's not a goal. I think there's a lot of people out there that are suggesting that we just want to cut, 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 cut. But there is a lot. So, and the concern I do have is, again, Quincy, the size of it is, and the budget that we have, a good expectation from DLS for free cash should be anywhere between 3 and 5%, and we're nowhere near that. So money's being spent, and what I did find out is that the departments are being asked to pull in their belts, don't spend any money. Procurement, not procurement, but all of your POs have to be in by a certain date because they want it locked up fast so they can figure out what their free cash is going to be, because they think it's going to be really big this year. Well, if it's going to be really big this year, it probably should have been really big last year too. But if it's going to be really big this year, what are we going to use it for? Free cash is usually, it should have a policy of what you're using it for. And traditionally, we've been using it to lower the taxes. And that's okay if you lose a little of it to lower the taxes. Last year, we used all of it. It's really for one-time expenses or to build up your stabilization account. And I believe they'll probably be building up their stabilization account because that's where we're getting knocked the most in the S&P and in Moody's. But it's a habitual problem because it's not like they've only done it 1 year. They've done it consecutively year over year over year. And that's where the problem lies, not the building it up. It's the use of the one-time revenues that we have.
Right. All righty. We catch up again on June 2nd, actually, right?
June 2nd will be our date next time.
All
All
right. Good to talk to you and appreciate the update.
right. Have a great day, Jeff.